I wanted to bring this banner out of the lobby and put it up here center stage and call your attention to it this morning. It's been in the lobby for quite a long while. In fact, this whole year, we have been emphasizing this theme, Desperate for God. And actually, we started promoting that theme even before the year started, probably at least the end of November, the 1st of December of last year. This banner showed up in our lobby and we started talking about this theme. And then all through this year of 2020, I have held to this theme in my preaching, being desperate for God. And I don't know if you've been like me, it's been there for so long in the lobby that I can walk right past it and not even see it. I don't know if you are mindful of this. Probably you're a little sharper than me on this, but this banner is on every door of our entryways into the church. It's just shorter. It's in a poster form, same picture. Actually, I think it's a little different picture, but it's the same theme on it and scripture verse, desperate for God. But you can walk right in those doors and not even see that poster because the poster's been there so long. And that's just how we are. We get used to seeing something and we don't really see it. There are some things that we do that we never live down. And one of those things I did years ago, I have never lived down. It's one of those stories that Cindy likes to tell on me. And so I'm going to tell you the story from my version, instead of her being able to tell it to you from her version. It was a number of years ago, back around Christmas time, she had said to me that she had picked out a little Christmas gift for herself at Country Cupboard that she really likes. Country Cupboard, if you're not familiar with that, it was a store in downtown Fort Scott for a number of years. Just recently closed in the last couple of years. But she had picked out a Christmas gift for herself, a wall hanging, that she said, just stop by and get it. I really like it. Well, I will interject to you. This was far enough back that we were at a point in our finances and such that, you know, I would never buy a wall hanging for her for Christmas now. But back then, we were tight enough on the finances and we weren't having the house decorated fully to her pleasure. And so here she's killing two birds with one stone, a Christmas gift and helping decorate the house. So, and she's making my Christmas shopping easier. She's saying, there is a gift there for you to stop and pick up. I've already looked at it. I like it. It should be there for you to get. So I drop into Country Cupboard. I say, hey, I'm here to get this gift for my wife, a wall hanging. And the lady, she knows who I am, and she knows Cindy, and she said, oh, yeah, yeah. And she's got it behind the counter. And so she picks it up, and she shows it to me. And she's so happy that I'm going to be happy. But I'm not happy. Because I look at it, and I'm confused. I have this look on my face, and she could tell something's wrong. And she says, what's wrong? I said, why would she want that? And she said, what do you mean? I said, the colors. Those are not the colors of our bedroom, which is where she wanted this wall hanging to land. And And she said, "Well, what are your colors in your bedroom?" And I mean, I draw a blank. And she's saying, what are your colors? What's your bed? What's the wall color in your bedroom?" "I don't know." She said, what's the color of your bedspread on your bed?" "I don't know." At this point, I'm getting totally embarrassed. And I'm sure my face is turning more and more red, and I'm ready to get out of there. And I'm saying, "Just wrap it up and put it in a box. If that's what she, are you sure that this is what she has chosen for me to get?" "Yes, I'm sure." "Okay, I don't know why she's choosing that, but wrap it up." And so she puts it in a nice, pretty, wrapper around a box, and I take it home, and Cindy opens it on Christmas, and we take it in there, and she's going to put it on the wall, and I mean, it is a perfect match for the wall color and the bedspread. And it's just a story to tell you that we can see things so much that we don't see them. I don't know how many times a day I'm in and out of that bedroom, I see that bedspread, but I couldn't tell you the color of those bedroom walls and the bedspread. And same with this banner. I walked through the lobby a few weeks ago, and I noticed that banner for the first time in several weeks. I had not seen that banner, even though it had sat there in the same spot and had never been moved. Wonder if you're that way, that you can see things so much that you don't see them, or that you can hear things so often that you stop hearing it. And so for that reason, I want to call to your attention again today, not only the banner, but more importantly, the theme that is on the banner, that we need to be desperate for God. For if you are not desperate for God, if I am not desperate for God, then we are in a desperate situation. And the scripture that Scott has already had us read together, Psalms 42:1, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Is that true of you? Are you thirsty for God as the deer becomes thirsty for a drink of water on a hot day? And that scripture from Psalm 63:1, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." It's so easy for us to just start coasting spiritually, and we lose our thirst for the living God. That is a dangerous position to be in. Don't let that happen to you. One of my new favorite memory verses, John 6:35, Jesus is talking there. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." I want you to know, he's not talking about food and water there. He's talking about life. He's saying, if you will hunger for me, if you will thirst for me, I will fill you up with true life to the point of overflowing. In me, you will find everything that you need. With the things of this world, we so often need more, don't we? More money, more fun, more entertainment, more sex, more stuff, more. I need more. It's just not satisfying to me. The world cannot satisfy. But Jesus satisfies. Jesus can quench our thirst. Jesus can fill up our hungry souls. Under this umbrella of desperate for God, for the last 6 weeks, we have been talking about being desperate for the truth. And I hope and pray that each of us are desperate for the truth. The devil feeds us so many lies. If we don't know the truth of God's word, then it will be easy for us to be led astray by the devil's lies. Now, I'm not asking you to answer audibly this morning this question, but I want you to answer it in your mind. As I put this on the screen, I want you to tell me if you think this is true or not. God wants you happy. Is it true or not? God wants you happy. Now, before you would tend to just blurt out an answer there, I want you to think about what the scripture says, this whole picture. I want you to weigh the whole scripture of God in what it says. This really sounds good, that God wants us happy. It sounds logical that God would want us happy. But is it true? Is it true that above all else, God wants us happy? I'd love to be able to tell you that that is true. God wants you to be happy above everything else. He wants only good things for you. He wants you to enjoy life more than anything else. He wants life to be free from all that which is bad, because the bottom line is God wants you happy. If I said that to you this morning, I'd be lying to you. God is not solely interested in our happiness. He is more interested in our holiness. Let that sink in for a moment. He is not solely interested in our happiness. He is more interested in our holiness. Now, that doesn't mean that God does not want us to be happy. God obviously doesn't want us to go around with a frown on our face and being a sourpuss in life. No, we are commanded over and over again in Scripture to rejoice in the Lord. But notice that our rejoicing is in the Lord. He is the source of our happiness and joy, not the things of this world. We should not be pursuing happiness. Rather, we should be pursuing Him. Do you hear that? We should not be pursuing happiness. Rather, we should be pursuing Him. If we're pursuing happiness, then we're liable to buy into all of the world's lies of what will provide happiness for us. Here, this new truck, this new car will make you happy. And so, and so we chase after that. We go buy that new truck. We go buy that new car, thinking that that's where happiness will come from. That's going to be the source of happiness for us. And, you know, it's nice. It's good. I'm happy over my new car or my new truck for a little while, about that long. Until it gets a scratch on it, or until it gets a dent in it, or maybe then I have to start paying for it and I'm not so happy anymore. And so we look to the next place of which we can find happiness. We need more happiness, and so we start going to the happy hour, because, you know, surely the happy hour will make us more happy. It doesn't work that way, though. Too much happy hour makes one not so happy, and it brings all kinds of problems in our direction. And so what else do we try? Maybe a new relationship will make me more happy. Maybe more sex will make me more happy. Or a fling outside of my marriage will make me happy. You know, I need some more excitement. Maybe a new wardrobe. Maybe a new house. Maybe a house on the lake will make me happier. Maybe a new job. If I could just get something newer and faster, shinier, bigger, prettier, then surely I would be more happy. And if we're not careful, we'll just be searching endlessly for that which will bring happiness to us. And oftentimes, we'll search in the wrong places. Don't pursue happiness. Pursue Him. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the happy one who called you, be happy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be happy because I am happy. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says at all. I read it wrong. This is what it says. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God is more interested in us being holy than He is in us being happy. But do you know what I have found through the years? When I'm pursuing Him, when I'm seeking to be holy, that's when I'm the most happy. His joy is in my heart, and my circumstances may not even be the most delightful. In fact, sometimes when the circumstances have been the hardest, that's when I'm trusting Him the most. And I feel the closest to Him because I'm trusting Him more, and I'm being reminded that He is all I need to be happy. Max Lucado tells a story. He says, if you take a fish out of the water and put it on the beach, is the fish going to be happy? No. Why not? Because the fish was made for the water. What if you take that fish that is on the beach and you give it a wad of cash. You give it $100,000. Is the fish going to be happy? No. Because the fish was made for the water. Oh, how about this? What if we give the fish a lounge chair and a Michelob Light and a Playfish magazine and a cell phone and an iPad? Will the fish be happy then? No. Why not? Because the fish is made for the water. And no matter what stuff from the world you give that fish, it's not going to be happy until it's put back into the water. And I hope you get what I'm saying here. You and I have been made to be in Him. We have been made to be holy and set apart to Him. We have been made for heaven. And so the things of this earth are not ever going to satisfy us. Craig Groeschel said it this way: no new car, no new house, no new job, no new person is going to satisfy the cravings of your heart, because inside your heart you have a Christ-shaped void. Do you get that? Inside your heart you have a Christ-shaped void. that only Christ can fill. The things of this world cannot fill the void that's in your heart. Only Christ can fill it. When he fills it, you're filled up to overflowing. My little 2-year-old granddaughter, Irene, has a puzzle that she likes to play with. And you've had these puzzles for your kids. It's a puzzle that helps her understand shapes. And so it's a wooden puzzle, and each piece has a little knob on it that you can grab hold of. But there's a circle shape, and there's a star shape, and there's a diamond shape, and there's a square shape, and there's a rectangle shape. And if you try and fit the diamond shape into the circle shape, doesn't work, does it? And if we are having this Christ-shaped void in our heart that only Christ can fill, but we're trying to fill it up with all the stuff of the world, and we're trying to find happiness through all the stuff of the world, it just doesn't work. Only Christ can fill that void. And so my question to you is, Are you desperate for him? Are you making sure that you are pursuing him more than what you're pursuing happiness? Let's pray together. God, help us to understand this message today. To let it sink in. We all want to be happy. We all want to feel good and enjoy life. But to know that we're not going to find happiness outside of Jesus. We need him desperately. So may we pursue him. May we be desperate for him. Every day, seeking him, chasing after him, loving him more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.